What's up, everybody? This is Pastor James. Welcome back to our midweek Bible study. We are still in chapter 11, and we should easily finish up with the chapter today. So let's get started, and we will continue on in what Jesus is communicating to his followers and how Matthew is communicating this to us in his record of the gospel. So Matthew chapter 11, let's read verses 20 through 24, and we'll get started. It says, then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, for if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on Judgment Day than you. And now, you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead, for if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on Judgment Day than you. Okay, so right here, these are definitely some strong words from Jesus. He had spent much of his time teaching and performing miracles in these towns, and very few people believed in him being the Messiah, and very few people repented of their sins and devoted themselves to God. And after all, I mean, this is exactly why Jesus came. He came to bring all the people back to right standing with God, but people were refusing what Jesus was offering them. They still did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And in fact, the Apostle John wrote about this in his gospel when he said, but despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. This was in John chapter 12, verse 37. And so it's very commonly understood that Jesus did all these amazing things, but even in spite of the amazing things he did, there still weren't that many people in Israel who believed in him, which is kind of an odd thing. You would think that his own people would trust in him. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Savior to come, but they just did not believe in Jesus. And because Jesus knows everyone's heart, and he knew that these people did not believe, and he knew that they were still unrepentant, Jesus goes on, and basically he's prophesying here in this moment. Now, we wouldn't really consider this a prophecy because it doesn't affect necessarily this world as much as it does eternity. But in this moment, Jesus is prophesying about the coming judgment day. And he's talking about Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, these three cities that were destroyed. And you can even throw Gomorrah in that. These cities that were destroyed in the Old Testament because of their sins. And Jesus is saying that these cities will be better off on Judgment Day than what Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum will be in his day and time. And Jesus is very much aware of the Judgment Day because it will be the day that all people stand before God and they will give an account for their sins and their lives. And Jesus Christ himself will be the one who gets to decide whether or not these people receive grace and mercy or whether or not they will be condemned to eternal judgment for the rest of eternity. So God is going to put all things under the authority of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is going to be the judge. And so Matthew actually reveals this later on in this chapter. We're going to read about it in just a little bit, but he also reveals it again in chapter 28 of his gospel in verse 18, where it says, Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is going to be the one that all people will answer to. And Jesus is prophesying that on Judgment Day, the evil people in the Old Testament, even people whose nations were destroyed because of their sins, will be better off on Judgment Day than anyone who lived during the time of Jesus and rejects him as the Messiah. They refuse to have faith in him. They refuse to repent of their sins. And they refuse to believe in him. Those people will suffer the wrath of God more than anyone else who's ever lived because Jesus came and they saw him with their own eyes. They saw his miracles. They heard him teach. And so the understanding and the need to receive salvation is so much more for those people than even what it is in past and even in present day's time. So today, it's still important for us to understand that to refuse the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ is basically bringing an eternal condemnation on ourselves that the wicked cities of Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the opportunity to do. And so that's super important to understand. They're very strong words, very strenuous and stern teaching of Jesus in this moment. And when we pick up in verse 25 here in a second, Jesus is about to give a prayer of thanksgiving after he gives this stern warning. So let's read verses 25 through 30. This will be the end of the chapter. We're going to have a really short Bible study today, and we're going to look at what Jesus is thanking the Father for. All right? Verse 25. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." All right, so the previous section we read just a second ago was all about Jesus talking about how people had rejected him. But in this moment, Jesus is giving a prayer of thanksgiving for revealing himself and God revealing the Son to what people would consider lesser people. Not the powerful, not the wise, not the wealthy, but God revealing himself to the least of these. And so Matthew is finishing up this chapter, and he's talking about this joyous prayer of Jesus that is being offered up to the Father. Jesus is thankful that God has hidden himself and maybe some spiritual things from the wise, the wealthy, the powerful, people who consider themselves wise and clever. These people are the ones who view themselves as better than other people. They don't see the need for other people. They don't see the need for God. They don't see the need for repentance of their sins. And so Jesus is almost glad in this moment that God is hiding himself or not revealing himself to these people in a certain way, because their attitude is prideful and harmful, not only in this world physically, but also spiritually. And Jesus loves the fact that God has chosen the least of the people in the world to shame those people who think they are wise, to shame those people who are in powerful positions, who wield much authority. God has chosen the things of this world that are less than what we think they should be to shame those things that we think are better than others. God has done that all throughout history. He does it in his word. He plainly says it in his word. And I have personally experienced this in my life, how God has used the simple, the common, the good things in order to shame those who think they are wise and powerful and wealthy. It pleases God to do this because God's desire for everyone is for all of us to be humble, for all of us to come to him, for all of us to seek his help and to seek repentance in him. So Jesus goes on to talk about how the Father has entrusted everything to him. I think it was in verse 27 where Jesus said that his Father had entrusted everything to him. He explains how the Father is the one who truly knows the Son, and no one knows the Father except for the Son. So there's this relationship between God and Christ that no one else can never fully understand. No one can fully understand God the way that Jesus can, and no one can fully understand Jesus the way that God can. They are Father and Son. There is a bond between them that does not exist between anyone else. And if you think about this, their communication, their existence has been constant before the beginning of creation in Genesis 1, and it will stay constant throughout the rest of eternity, never ending. They have always been together, and they will always be together. They have always known one another, and they will always know one another. And after Jesus proclaims this knowledge of the Father beyond anyone else's understanding, and after he proclaims that all things have been given to him, all authority has been given to him, he invites everyone to come to him. And so it's Jesus who says, hey, come to me. It's not the fact that Jesus doesn't want rich or wealthy people to come to him, but he invites everyone to come to him. And so Jesus is talking about this yoke. He says, look, come to me. All right? The yoke that Jesus speaks of is not the yolk, Y-O-L-K, of an egg, but it's the yoke, the Y-O-K-E. And this was a wooden contraption that was placed around two oxen so that they could pull together, pull a wagon, pull a plow, and work a field. And so it was an understanding that when you put a yoke on an oxen, that you always paired up a stronger, older, more mature ox with a younger, less experienced, not as strong ox, so that the older ox could guide the younger ox. And so what Jesus is doing is he's inviting people in to come alongside him. He's saying, listen, all of you who are weak and weary, those of you who feel like you can't go on, who feel like you don't have the power to do this, come and join me. I'm the older, I'm the stronger, I'm the wiser ox. And if you will join yourself to me, I'm going to make life and eternity easier for you. All right, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What I'm calling you to do is not as heavy and difficult as what the world is calling you and wanting you to do and how they're wanting to take advantage of you. Jesus is inviting people to come in, and he's not only offering them to make their workload lighter and less stressful, and he's offering not only to guide him, but he's also offering them rest. That's huge. I mean, I don't know if you ever think about that, but you know, we talk about the Sabbath day a lot. We talk about rest. Rest is extremely important. And Jesus and God freely offers that to people. With the day of the Sabbath, Jesus offers physical rest. Jesus offers mental, emotional, and spiritual rest. And so anyone who comes to him, anyone who's weak and weary, who understands that they are just not capable of doing everything that's required of them, that they need help, Jesus says, come to me and I will help you. Jesus offers himself to the least of the people in the world. And in doing this, it reveals that because the least are welcome, then everyone is welcome. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this, but as a human, in this life, you only have so much time. And so it's extremely difficult to become educated. Like, you got to spend a lot of time, you got to spend a lot of money to get educated, to learn things, to know things. It's an extremely difficult task to accomplish. It's an extremely difficult task to accomplish becoming wealthy. You know, most people who are wealthy did not, unless they inherited that wealth from parents, basically to build up a fortune is an extremely difficult, long, grueling process that people have to work extremely hard for. So when Jesus invites the least of these, he invites people who doesn't have anything. And so the people, the wise, the strong, the wealthy, it's not the fact that they're not invited, but what Jesus is saying is, look, leave behind your pride. Leave behind your wealth. Leave behind your wisdom. Leave behind the things that you have worked so hard for that you've acquired, and humble yourself and come to me. If you humble yourself and you come to me, I will accept you gladly with all of the rest of the world, because it's the wisdom, it's the wealth, it's the power that prevents people from being humble and giving themselves to Christ. For the least of these who don't have power and authority, who don't have wealth, who don't have education and wisdom, it is much easier for them to accept that they need help. They need someone greater than them to guide them and help them along. And so when Jesus is welcoming the weak and the weary, he's not excluding the rich, the powerful, the wealthy, or anything like that, but basically he's making it available so that anyone can come. The only stipulation is that the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, the wise, the intellectual, they have to be willing to humble themselves in order to come to Christ. And the sad reality is a lot of people who have all those things aren't always the most humble of people, and it's always really hard for them to leave things like that behind. But because Jesus invites the least of these, it means that everyone is invited. You know, in this world, when you have a party and you invite the rich and the powerful and the wealthy, it's pretty understood that basically if you don't get the invitation, then you're not allowed to come because, you know, you don't always get to associate with rich and wealthy and famous people. But basically, if we have a wedding or we have a party and someone rich and famous came to our party, we wouldn't make them leave. We would actually think it was really cool that they were there. You know, we're here in South Carolina, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but apparently Bill Murray, who is a famous comedian and actor, he's a little older now, but he has a home in Charleston, South Carolina. And I have heard that basically he will just come in and like crash a wedding or crash a party or crash some kind of event. And he just shows up to people's events. And it wasn't the fact that he was invited, but because he's rich and wealthy and famous, people think that it's so cool that he's there. They don't ask him to leave. They take pictures with him and they hang out with him. And it's just a really funny thing that he does. And so it's just understood that when the least of these are invited, that everyone else is invited too. And Jesus makes that so obvious. He opens up the door for the world to come to him. And because of that, that is the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ. He is humble. He is gentle. And he offers us rest. And so the question this morning is, as I'm doing this Bible study and getting ready to post it, and I know you're going to be listening to this in the coming days, the question for you today is, are you going to be humble enough to answer the call of Jesus Christ and become a servant alongside of him and so many others that have come before us? You know, you're sitting here today, and many of you probably wouldn't consider yourself wealthy or powerful or anything like that, but compared to the rest of the world, because you live in a home with running water, you are more wealthy than 3/4 of the rest of the world. Now, in America, we see people on TV who have so much more than we do, and we don't consider ourselves wealthy, but we are extremely wealthy. We have freedom in America that a lot of other people in other countries don't have, and because of that, freedom is power. Freedom is responsibility. And so maybe we're a lot more powerful than what we realize, and because of living in America, we have education of K-12 freely, and then we get to go to college and trade schools and things like that. And we may not consider ourselves the smartest people in the world, but we have more education than a lot of other people in the world have. And so as an American this morning, if you're listening to this, you know, don't fall into the trap of assuming that you are the least of these. In fact, most Americans are the opposite. We are wealthy, we are powerful, we are intellectual, and have human knowledge and wisdom. And it's really hard for us a lot of times to surrender to the will of the Lord. So the question is today, if you're listening to this, are you going to humble yourself and come on your hands and your knees before the loving, gentle, and merciful Savior who wants to bring you into his kingdom for all eternity, to dwell with him and the Father? But you've got to humble yourself and come to him first. Are you willing to do that? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to read your word, to discuss your business, to discuss, Lord, just your heart and your desire for all humans. Lord, I pray that we would humble ourselves before you, that we would seek your face, that we would repent of our sins. And Lord, one day when we stand before you on judgment, that you will forgive us and be merciful to us because we have humbled ourselves, we've repented of our sins, and we have acknowledged you before all men. We love you, And we thank you for this day and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks again for another great week. We hope to see you on campus Sunday mornings for our services. If you can't make it, check us out on Facebook, YouTube, and podcasts. We love you. We're praying for you. Have a great week.